amazing transformations in people's lives, both in this house and outside of this house. And so I want you to hear what I'm saying, says the Lord. I want you to open your heart and receive. I want you to put out of your mind the kind of Christianity that you may feel has been the norm for your life, because I'm introducing you into a new normal, which is a supernatural normal, which is people getting phone calls and earning more money than they've ever earned in their life, which is people getting images and pictures of people that they're going to minister to and lay hands on, which is laying hands on ill people and them being instantly recovered. Creative miracles that I'm going to do. And people that I'm speaking to, and I want you to move with me, says the Spirit, because I'm already moving in this nation. And I'm already drawing people to me in this town. And I'm already visiting people. And some people are having dreams right now. Unsaved people, as we would call them. They're having dreams and visions of God coming to them. They're experiencing supernatural and angelic things. And I'm sending you in to reap a harvest. And it's not going to be difficult. It's going to be supernatural. But it is going to take you out of your comfort zone. I want you to be ready, says the Lord. I want you to open your heart and put your trust in me. I want you to let me take you on a journey that is going to thrill your soul and change your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to just meditate on that. Some of you may want to even write a couple of thoughts down where things have struck your heart, struck your spirit as particularly pertinent. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank your Holy Spirit for being so faithful, for the way you've had your way with this service. We thank you that your power now, we just release the anointing, the angels of God, to minister in this place supernaturally in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Praise God. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Thank you very much. Praise God. Thanks, Sam. That's good. That's good. Thank you. Praise God. If you want to grab your Bibles, probably we'll start somewhere. It's all pretty good. All your phones, whatever you have today. I said in the text and whatnot that I sent to people, we want to begin a new kind of a mini-series now, talking about the normal Christian life and the heartbeat of God. And that's our title today, the heartbeat of God and the normal Christian life. God's got a heartbeat. Did you know that? We're made in His image. And as much as we humans really are looking for love, some of us think that that might come in a male or a female partner. Some of us get so disillusioned by, nothing against the dog lovers, but you know, some people get so disillusioned and hurt by people that their closest companionship becomes a dog or a horse. But we're looking for love. Our movies, our songs, you know, they're all centered around what makes this life worthwhile. When you find someone that you feel like is the right person for your life, you know, your heart springs for joy, and the whole reason for living changes. And when those things seem to be threatened or under pressure or starting to show cracks or falling apart, then we become unhealthy, dysfunctional, not our normal selves at all. Because we were made to be loved and we were made to love. And what makes life work is love and that heartbeat of love. And we were made in the image of God and He's just the same. What makes His whole world sing is His love for people. He can create water out of nothing. Like that joke that I heard recently, did you? I don't know if anyone shared that. I heard a pretty funny thing where all the recent scientists recently got together, some of the most advanced ones, and with all the increasing technology and all the nanotechnology and all the things they can do now and find out now, they came together, got together, and they met with God, and they said, listen, God, we think now we don't really need you. Because we've discovered that we can kind of create life and we can do anything that you can do. And so we'd like to have a little competition about that. And we think we can make man just like you make man, you know. And God said, okay, that'll be fine. And so he said, you guys go first. And so they went and got a little bit of dirt. And he said, you make your own dirt. God's awesome. People are awesome. And what really makes, He can do all that stuff, but the absolute heartbeat of God is people. When you're rightly connected to Him, it'll make you happy and it'll make Him happy. And whatever else is going on in the world and whatever advancements are happening and however successful certain people are being and whatever's the hit single of this week and whatever's the new fashion and the new hairstyle, what God is preoccupied with is people. And if there are people in need, His heart goes out to them and he really overlooks almost everything else. Because He just loves people and He wants them to be whole and he wants them to be who they were created to be and he wants their heart to be filled with joy and He wants them to walk like He in designed them to walk, which was like Him. He's got a heartbeat and it's for people. And I want to look at this, what I call the normal Christian life, because I think that it's very common for churches to slip into a kind of lifestyle that we probably think is the normal Christian life, but as Carrie and I have been talking, we've been talking about it at Activate, looking at Jesus' life, looking at the book of Acts. I'm in the middle of rereading the whole book of Acts in one newer version of the Bible, and then I'm going to go back, and I'm just asking the Holy Spirit to show me what's the emphasis here, what are the things that we really need to be focused on. And so I want to just open that up today and talk about those things and start here. The heartbeat of God is expressed through Acts. Let's have a look at this first verse that we have here. In the heart of God and in the normal Christian life, here's the number one or the first central thing. And I hope, can we read that all right? We got this really nice background there and wasn't sure how well it would work, but it looks good. Anyway, everyone say it looks good, you know. Can anyone read it down the back? Can you? Not quite? Okay. I will read it out for you. But here's the first thing, proclaim the good message. Everyone say proclaim. When we look at Jesus' life, His instruction to His disciples in the book of Acts, and we try and embrace God's heart and look at what is in His heart, here's one of the handful of things that is just absolutely at the top of the list. Matthew 28:18, some of you all know this, it's Jesus speaking His last words as recorded by Matthew, and He says, then Jesus came to them, and He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Everyone say, go. Therefore, go. Why? Therefore, because He has authority. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So, like somebody once said, two-thirds of God's name is go. You just got to be a goer. God said go and He never did say stop. So if there isn't on the inside of us some kind of a go to reach people, then we're missing the point. We're not in the normal Christian life. Go and make disciples. The word make is just to shape, to create. And a disciple, the word really means a follower. Someone, or a learner. Someone that is learning of Jesus. Go into the world and bring people to a place where they're following and learning about Jesus. That's what he said, and those were his last words. And just to confirm that, then in Mark 16 he says, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim good news to the whole creation. Everyone say go. Two-thirds of God's name is? God said go, and he never did say stop. Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to all creation. The good news. I wanted Val to come up just for a minute, couple of minutes, see how you go, see if you can hold back the tears this morning. But you know, it's nearly 3 years ago, when we made a decision to come to Staines, and to be honest, Carrie and I were thinking about it, praying about it, and we weren't really sure where God wanted us to be, because we have people that are coming up from Richmond here in church, we have people that come from Walton, and I love that, and I say bring everybody from everywhere, amen. We've got people from Bedford here, people from Sunbury, people from Hounslow, and then we have some people from Staines. And so God is sending, and Twickenham, and Ottershaw, and God is sending people. And from this morning, Marcello, did you come down from Leicester? Are you still working in Leicester? So he's down from Leicester, so that's good. Amen. Good. It's a good decision this morning to come. And so God is, you know, sending people to us, but there is something that God wants us to do here. And 3 years ago when we made this transition, God really showed Val a vision. I just wanted her to share it. Some of you have heard this before, but it's powerful. And she was in tears about it every time she was speaking about it for like over a month. So tell us what God showed you.
So in brief, it is about the fact that God's heart is beating for the people of Staines. Because this happened when we moved here, and we'd not been here for that long when that happened. We were meeting in the church here upstairs, and I was just looking out of the window when God, we were worshiping, and we were just singing, and as we were thinking, as we got to that part of the phrase, the song we were singing, God was just going to change. I've gotten the name of. Chains Be Broken, that was it. So we got to Chains Be Broken. As I looked out, I just saw this, and it was just a flick of a moment of lots of people, hundreds of people. There is no way that road could have been filled with the number of cars and people I saw all going and just going, and just like they were going nowhere. But it's like that is why we're here, because immediately God gave me the interpretation of what I was seeing, that's why I put you here. And, that's the short of it. And in all that time, my heart has just been going out to thinking that, God, we're here for a purpose, for these people that God's heart is beating for, the people of Staines. And, you know, look at the number of people that have come visiting here from Staines, and it's really for that purpose. And it's just, even in these last few weeks when we've been going out and inviting people, you look out at the people and you see God's heart is beating for them. In fact, this morning I saw a man who I was trying to ask and compel to come in. He had his papers in front of him, and he was saying, oh, I'm just going to sit at the pub and read his papers. And I'm thinking, Just come. You know, he would get more out of being in God's presence than going to sit in a pub for a couple of hours and read the papers. But these are the people we're here for. There's so many hearts there. And, you know, there are lots of lives here that God has positioned us for. And in everything, it's about just going and taking the church out and being out for those people. And I just thought, that was a powerful vision that just stuck on me for weeks and weeks and weeks and months.
Yeah. Still. Thanks, Val. And it's true, Val's in Mortlake. She lives in Mortlake, and she works hard. And it's not always easy for her to get here necessarily. And I'm not saying that people in Mortlake are not important, not at all. I think you have to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing. and saying. And then you have to be faithful in what God gives you to do. And because when you're faithful in a small thing, I think Ian said that this morning, then God will open other doors for you. There's a certain metron of responsibility. And he looks to us to put aside what we might prefer at one level or another and to come together as a unified people with a heartbeat that's his heartbeat for this town and these people. So my focus here is this proclaiming the message. This is what I want us to look at. And in the time we've got left, this is what we'll focus on. In Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus is speaking. Again, he's about to leave. And this is what he says. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Everyone say power. You will receive power. Now, 1 Corinthians 4:20 says that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now, words are important. You're hearing some good words this morning. But words that are sent by God have power on them. The word of God is anointed, and then God sends people to bring the word of God that's anointed, and I'm sent, but equally you are sent. My particular sending has to do with training and equipping you and an oversight kind of gifting. But you're sending, you're sent as much as I am to go into this world and to do what Jesus encouraged us to do, and we do it with power. Everyone say power. So in Jesus, back in Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, therefore go. And now here he's saying, you're going to receive power. So we've got power and authority. Say it with me. I've got power and authority. Now you mightn't feel like it sometimes, but that's really the catch. That's the important part. If you keep living by what you feel like, you will limit what God does through your life. And what happens to a lot of people, and I'm just getting a little bit anointed about it now, but what happens to a lot of Christian people is that they lived the word of God that we're talking about. They either didn't kind of let it dwell in them and live in them. They didn't really focus on the word of God, or they were in a church or in a situation where the word of God that's coming to them is not speaking directly about these kinds of things because maybe it was too challenging or maybe it looked controversial. And so there wasn't a very strong deposit of the good message of God, of the truths that we try and talk about every week and why we encourage you to be there with us on Wednesday and Activate. And we encourage you to read eThoughts and we encourage you to meditate, think on the Word of God, because that starts to change the inside of you. And if you don't make that change, and I would hazard a guess that most Christians I know anywhere in the world haven't really made that change very well. And so most of them struggle most days with the problem of, I don't feel like I've got a lot of power. I don't feel like I've got a lot of authority. I love God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask him to help me. But I'm not really totally convinced that I'm full of power and authority. How many understand what I'm saying? And what happens when your life goes on like that for many years is that you start to deem that as normal Christianity. And that is the situation we have in the body of Christ in the UK today. Most people would deem normal Christianity as being at church for a couple of hours. And really, if you're a good Christian, if you're a strong Christian, then you'd be at church pretty much every week. You might even turn up early and help serve. And if you pray at least most days and read the Bible a little bit at least most days, well, then you'd be a much better Christian than average. And to tell you the truth, that may well be true, but it simply isn't the New Testament normal kind of Christianity. Hello. And then now you're not feeling condemned here this morning, are you? You're feeling encouraged. You're feeling uplifted. Because here's the thing. When you meet God, and when the Holy Spirit takes up residence on the inside of you, then the inside of you have changed. You made a new creation, a new creature, a complete. One version says you're a new species of being. You're not the same anymore. But if you don't get taught and you don't get prophesied to and you don't get in a worship zone and you don't, for whatever reason, you don't get into an atmosphere, an environment, a church that brings that truth to you both in demonstration and in word, and you don't embrace it, then you end up with a reality on the inside, which is God is living in you, and an experience on the outside, which is not all that different from what it was when you weren't a Christian. Somebody say hello. You see, and that is not the... And what will happen is that you will get frustrated because there's a passion on the inside of you to live this whole new life, which is full of miraculous power. Every one of us should... Every one of us has power. Every one of us has authority. Jesus gave it to us. Jesus said to every one of us, you're going to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And the reason why a lot of Christians don't do that is because a lot of Christians never got taught that. They never had it demonstrated to them. And they almost never lay hands on sick people. Well, if you don't lay hands on any sick people, you aren't going to get anybody healed. And if you talk to the average Christian or you look at the state of Christendom in our nation, the United Kingdom, you'll find that this general consensus still is that laying hands on sick people, having visions, having angels come into your room, sensing the power of God, getting phone calls saying you've got more work, more money than you've ever earned before, and all those kinds of things that God supernaturally does, you'll still find that most people consider that slightly unusual, maybe excessive, but certainly not mainstream Christianity. We are here to change that. God's heart is to change that. And that's the reason for this series and this message. That's why I'm sent, to bring about a change. I'm not the only one, but I am one. And we have to declare and come to a place where we actually believe and trust that what God said really is true. Now, this is happening all over the world, but it's not bred strongly enough in the churches of the United Kingdom. And that may well be why there's people from all nations, including me, sent to this nation, because God loves these people. And he wants them to see a Christianity that is not a church bell and a steeple and a nice, beautiful, you know, tinted windows, glass windows, and all the stuff that goes with it. I don't mind if you have that, as long as you have power, healing, miracles, angelic visitations, words from God, supernatural gifts, then that's fine. But the people have to know, and God wants them to know. I hope I'm stirring you. I hope I'm agitating you a little, getting under your skin, because we are the answer for this particular metron, this area, this sphere of influence that God's given us. And you are going to see as we move forward in this thing that God is raising up people just like Carrie and I and just like you, all over our nation, that are hearing the same drumbeat, because God is actually really big, really clever, and very able to communicate what he wants to do in the earth. And can I say it this way? Can I say that God's sick and tired of a kind of Christianity that has no power and no passion? That's God's not interested in that. In fact, it misrepresents him. It's the only guys, Jesus could sit with a prostitute, he could sit with someone who drank too much, he could sit with someone who stole money from other people, he could relate to them, he didn't condone their behavior necessarily, but they felt loved, they didn't feel condemned, that's for sure. And he said to them, I don't condemn you. He could sit with them. The people he could not sit with, the only people that he was scathing with, if you like, were the religious people, the people that misrepresented God, the people that said, well, God is this way and he's not that way at all. God has no time for that. God loves people, but there are certain things God does not like. And he doesn't like the religious ideology that binds people up and makes them feel like their behavior has to be just like this, and they have to wear these clothes, and they have to say, yes, pastor, and they can't go to any other church. They must go to this church, or else they actually may go to hell, possibly, if they don't go to this particular church. And all this fear-based nonsense. Are you with me this morning? God loves people so much, and he's given us authority, all power, all authority. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, there was a particular event that happened, the baptism or the gift or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. All those three terms are used. I'll write a book on it soon, and that'll help you with all that stuff. But the bottom line, the key of all that is we're supposed to live filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, don't go anywhere until you get that power. There is no such thing in the Bible as a New Testament Christianity that is lacking in the Holy Spirit's presence, in power, and in the supernatural. It just doesn't exist. And if we've bought into it, or if we've experienced it, we don't condemn people, folks. We don't put people down. We love people. But we are called to show them and bring the kingdom in power and in demonstration. That's what Paul did as well, all through his life. So our heart we've got to catch here is that God deeply loves people. And that there's a Christianity that it's like Melissa, when I hear those stories, I just say to all of you, keep telling us stories. Keep trusting God. Don't worry if you don't get everything right. Okay, because I'm the pastor, I'm the leader here, and I don't get everything right, all right? It's all right. God doesn't, I do get most things right, you know, but God is not really interested in the depth of your right behavior. God's interested in your trust in him and that you will receive the Holy Spirit. You know, Melissa, I love testimonies like that where she's talking about what she's been through and some of the challenges that she faces. You know, and years ago, there was a kind of Christianity where all the testimonies we heard were only about how everybody did this right and that right. And now we're finding that God is actually anointing testimonies of people to say, well, I actually didn't quite get that right and I've made this. And you find that God doesn't need you to be completely right. He just needs you to receive his love and put your trust in him. You know, right now, all over the world, There are kids that are 4, 5, 6, and 7. In fact, I was listening to a testimony the other day of a minister, and I'm not going to get to the rest of my message, but that's all right. Just stay with me. Don't worry about the words. Amen. And because the Holy Spirit's moving, and I like it that way. Of a minister, an English gentleman who'd been a missionary and has been a missionary, I think, to Africa. Africa or China, I think it was Africa, and has done that. He's an older man, older than me, and he's done that for many years. And he talks about this kind of the demonstrations and the power of the Holy Spirit, what the church is supposed to be. And then he said, so I went there, and they just begin to talk like that amongst the children. And so I think it was an 8-year-old child that came up and said, well, if Jesus said that we can do that, well, I'm just going to do that. And they were in a particular part of the world where there was a lot of ill people. It was like what we would call the third world. And this little 8-year-old child just got all the deaf people and laid hands on deaf people. And in the next hour or so, 20 deaf people's ears were opened. And the guy, the older guy, the missionary said, I've never had that many ears open. So sometimes we think, well, we've been around a long time, you know. And that's why Carrie and I stir one another up, because I have been around a while in this, and you can learn some things from having been around a while. But the last thing I want is to become some archaic remnant of what God used to do, and that the past was better. The future is glorious. We're just getting started. I'm just warming up. If you think that I've got a few things done up to now, we're barely beginning, folks. This whole city is going to vibrate with the goodness and the power of God. That's why I'm sent here. And we need to be unafraid of anything that's hindered us before and learn, like we've talked in recent weeks with our imagination, to stop thinking about ourselves the way our emotions might tell us to and to believe that what God said for us really is true, that we are carriers of His message. Praise God. We really are. You're a carrier of His message. You're a bringer of His grace. You might have met Jesus yesterday. You became a new person yesterday. And now I want to help you, and we want to help you find out all about what that new person is and can do. And definitely that new person can boldly bring good news and bring the power and the demonstration of the kingdom of God to people around them. And we may find, this is kind of like a divine wake-up call, isn't it? We might find that in the weeks and months ahead that God starts to bring these people in, and young people, and we're already seeing things happen. We're seeing people come to the youth thing on Friday night, the thirst. Don't know where they've come from. They just come along. Some of them know Jesus, some of them don't. But it won't take much for this wonderful Holy Spirit who's seen all this before. He was the one who moved through the 8-year-old's hands and opened all those deaf ears. And as soon as we begin to believe that we can do the same thing and be the same thing, then we'll see that same thing happen. Let me finish on this point now, because here's the challenge that we face in the West. Here's one of the reasons why we in the West may be the most prosperous. We may have the most money. We may have the best education and university, but we don't have the most miracles, and we don't have the biggest expansion of the kingdom of God. And if you're asking me, I am all for the expansion of the kingdom and the miracles and the work of God and the proclaiming of the gospel first. But I want you to be as educated as you can. I want you to be as prosperous as you can, because it's going to take money to do this. You know, you just can't rent buildings like you say, oh, we're Christians, can we have it for nothing? No, that's a nonsense. It's going to take money. Well, you got it, you know. And that's where God has blessed us in the West, an ability to do that. But we need to put the kingdom of God first and the things of God first. And what happened in the early church is exactly what we see there. Right now today, one of the people you may have heard of is a lady called Heidi Baker and her husband Roland. They're down in Mozambique. They're, I think, got a master's from a university in America. They're intelligent, well-educated people, a bit older than me. I think they've been there for, I don't know, 25, 30 years. And they decided they would leave the blessing, relative blessing of America, and give their lives to Mozambique, which is regarded as probably the poorest nation in the world. And when you talk to them, or you hear them talk about what God is doing, you discover this: there's no TV, there's no internet, there's not all these games, there's not Xbox, there's not all this stuff. And so there is no distraction, and the entertainment, the fun, and the joy is in the presence of God. When they come in, they're seeing miracles. I think they've seen 20-odd, more than 20 people raised from the dead through their work in there. Smith Wigglesworth, who was a British man, had raised at least 23 people from the dead in his life. You heard of him? Don't tell me it doesn't happen. You know, there were 23 people that would argue vehemently that you were wrong. And we're going to see those things. But what happens to us in the West is we have so many other things. We need this much money. We need these shoes. We need this education. We have to watch this movie. We have to catch up with. And we end up with our lives so full of stuff that God is just squeezed in. So full, actually, that we sometimes struggle to be in church every week just for a couple of hours, because there's all this other stuff. And then we wonder why we don't see the outpouring of the Spirit of God. I want to issue you a godly challenge this morning. And I want you to go before the Lord and say to Him, Jesus, I want the normal Christian life like the Bible says. And if I've got too many distractions in my life, which I think will be the case for most of us, I want to ask you to help me to get undistracted. Because you can't focus on that and that and that and those games and those toys and those mates and that rugby match and that TV show and that video and that this and that and all that and that, and we're on the, you know, you look at kids now, and they sit down at a meal, they sit down at dinner, they sit down at a meeting, they're in a car, they're in a bus, they're on these phones all the time. And I'm not criticizing you. You just learnt what culture taught you. But it is ripping you off. And this is why you have so many Christian people. Literally. I mean, how ridiculous. How many Christian people that you know that say, well, I'm bored. Oh, do we have to sing this song? Oh, I don't like this song. Oh, I'm bored. I don't want to. And we have that in the. When Jesus rose from the dead and gave us all power and authority, and we can lay hands on sick people, and we're sitting around in our Christian lives saying, we're bored? How can that be? We need to visit the underground, less underground now than it was, church in China, where people meet in secret. And the temperature goes up over 40 degrees because there's no air conditioning. And the place is so packed that you can't sit, you just stand. And they have church on Sunday for 12 hours. They're not bored. And they're weeping. And they're worshiping God. And they're singing. And they're seeing miracles. And right now, the estimated church in China is over 100,000 people. About 10% of that nation. That is one of the most hotbeds of revival in the world. And you can't have a hotbed of revival when your life is filled with distraction. I say this, what Jesus said, what he meant what he said when he said, put first the kingdom of God. Can we do that? How many of us feel like that's what we want to do? I want to help you. I want to help you. And so let's make a resolve in our heart. Let's close here at this time. And yes, Sam, if you've got the keyboards, that'd be great. Holy Spirit, we're just so thankful that you showed up and that we ended up talking almost nothing about what was in the notes, but lots about what was in your heart today. And Father, I trust you. I know you sent me here. I know you sent Carrie and I here. I know that you've brought many people to be here and that there are many more coming. But our heart and our prayer is this, on this day, on this 18th of October, our heart and our prayer is this, that you help us to see clearly what normal Christianity is according to your standard. That you start to break our heart with the love that you have for people. I know you're tender and I know you're kind and I know you don't condemn. But some of us, Father, have got so consumed with little technological things, so consumed with being cool, being with the right people, wearing the right clothes, having the right style, that we focus more on our hairstyle than we do on bringing Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit into people's lives. Forgive us if we've done that. And I'm asking you to visit our church in a supernatural way. I'm asking you to birth in every heart and life here a hunger for the presence and the things of God, that we might find the joy, never be a bored Christian, Lord, but find the joy in your presence that overwhelms us, that we find our place in this great church, where the God-given assignment you have for us, that your power and your grace rest upon us this week. I pray, Father, that the boldness to minister to people, to bring your gospel to people, good news, simply put, I pray it comes to us. I pray that miracles flow through our lives increasingly in Jesus' name. I thank you that we sense we are at the beginning of a great wave of your glory and that lives are going to be completely transformed and that what we once valued is going to seem very insignificant in the light of the glory of your presence. Help every one of us, Lord, to live that way. I ask you in Jesus' name. If that's you, just make a quiet prayer in your own heart today. A consecration is what I'd call it. God, I'm going to live for you. Not in a sense of hard work, in a sense of yielding everything to him and trusting him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.